Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Your goodness and mercy and grace to us. Thank You for allowing us to gather together. What a privilege it is to come together and be in the house of the Lord and hear the gospel preached and proclaimed. And it just comforts our souls. We who believe, it just comforts our souls, lifts us up, takes us out of the weariness of this world and the things that go on in this world. And for this time we're together, lifts our eyes up to Thee, O Lord. May we glean truth from Your scriptures today that will help us through the week, that we might look to Thee. And we love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles again, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll continue our study in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's been a wonderful study as we go through this little book of Christians who are suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2. The name of the message is Lively Stones. Lively Stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10 we'll read in context, but our verse will be found in verse 5. To whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And of course this is speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So our text will be found in verse 5 today. But last week we looked at verse 4 where we saw that Christ is the living stone. He's the living stone. Now most stones are dead, inanimate objects. All stones are that way, but they're lifeless. But Peter is here using a metaphor before us, that Christ, who is the living stone, is disallowed of men. And we looked at how that means he's rejected of men. He's rejected of men. And we know that in our state before the Holy Spirit regenerated us, we rejected him. I know I did. We rejected him in our natural state. But here it's speaking of him being rejected of those who hate him, who was where we were at one time. So the metaphor of Jesus as a stone is found also in Psalm 118:22, where the scripture proclaims this: the stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. The metaphor of Jesus as a stone is also found in Isaiah 28. Turn there if you would. Verse 16. As a building stone, a foundation stone. Isaiah 28:16. So this is something that is often used in scripture. And also, we'll look at Daniel chapter 2. But Isaiah 28:16, it says there, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone. That's Christ. He's the head. He's the foundation of the church, right? He's the head, we're the body. But when you're talking about building a temple, he's the foundation stone. He's the foundation stone. He's the starting of all things. He's the foundation stone. A tried stone. Oh, was he not tried? Well, he was here upon this earth. He was tried by Satan, and he was tried by men. Yet he's sinless, perfect. And then it says, a precious cornerstone. And to his people, he's absolutely precious, beloved. He's absolutely precious. A sure foundation. He's the only true sure foundation. All other foundations are like sinking sand. He's the one sure foundation. Foundation. And he's the foundation stone of God. And look at this. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believes on him runs to him. Flees to him. So the metaphor of Jesus' stone is also found. Go back a few chapters in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So we see in Isaiah 28:16, he's a foundation stone. But here we see he's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. So to one, he's a foundation, and to the other, he's a stumbling stone. He's a stumbling. He's a rock of offense. And then look over in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. The metaphor of Jesus as a stone is found here too, where he pictures his overcoming and conquering stone. And beloved, his kingdom shall prevail. There will be none to stop his kingdom. None. None. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So this is a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and it breaks in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and gold. It breaks and it crushes all its opposition. It destroys all its opposition. And then look in Luke chapter 20. The master himself brought forth this very same metaphor, and it speaks of him. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Verses 17 and 18. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, the foundation stone. Who's the stone that the builders rejected? That's Christ. That's Christ. Look at it says here, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it'll grind them to powder. This stone breaks his people. God's people are a broken people. We were once proud, self-righteous. We still struggle with things like that, don't we? But we were self-righteous and proud, and the Lord has broken us, hasn't he? Showing us who he is. Showing us who he is and showing us what we are. But look what it says to those who are against him, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, powder there is like dust in the Greek, like dust. The word is used of winnowing grain. It's when they take grain and thrash or sieve it, separating the good from the bad, the grain thrashed and the winnowed or sieved to remove the husk. And all three methods were used during biblical times. Thrashing is the process of removing the grain, wheat, or barley from the stalk and husk. Winnowing was the process that separated the mixed up pile of grain, stalk, and husk so that the edible grain could be sifted and eaten. To winnow the grain, the farmer scooped up the pieces of the crop he had just thrashed and threw it up into the air. The wind blew the light pieces of stalk aside, well, the grain, which was both heavier and roundish, fell straight back down. And just before the grain was ground into flour, it was sieved. And this was necessary for a number of reasons. For one thing, it was common in the harvesting that weeds, seeds, got mixed in with the wheat. And thrashing and winnowing did not separate the different seeds. A good reference for that is the parable of the sower. And furthermore, the winnowing process did not get all the chaff from the grain. Also, in picking off the grain from off the thrashing floor, dust and pebbles were mixed in with the grain. And when they do this, the husks are scattered to the wind like powder or dust. Beneath this stone spoken of in Luke 20:18, God's enemies are scattered like dust. Like dust. But to the believer, to the chosen of God, to we who are chosen in Him, Christ is precious, isn't He? He's precious. Oh, He's so precious. Now, corporate metaphors, meaning all the elect, all the chosen in Christ, are often used in the New Testament to describe the church and the security that we have in Christ. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Here's a corporate metaphor here, meaning all the elect in Christ. We'll look at a few of these metaphors, these corporate metaphors, which means all the elect, just to set up for our study here. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. This is speaking of all the elect. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Look at this marvelous statement. For without me, you can do nothing. So Christ is saying to the whole body, all the elect of all the ages, that I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. It's wonderful. It's humbling, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful for the believer. Because we know we can't do anything, right? We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves, can we? But He can keep us, and He's saved us. Then go over to John chapter 10. We have Christ as the shepherd, and we as the sheep in John chapter 10, another corporate metaphor. John chapter 10, verses 14 to 16. Sometimes we just read over these things and miss these great blessings that are right here before us, because he's talking about the whole body. John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows his sheep. And am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Note there's particular redemption. Christ didn't die for everybody. But who did he die for? He died for the sheep, speaking of all the elect, the corporate metaphor of all the elect, of all the ages. That's who he died for. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be, here it is again, the corporate metaphor, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. We have Christ as the husband, and we as the bride in Revelation 21:9. Revelation 21:9. Again, speaking of all the elect, of all the ages. I was involved with a group who thought they were the bride and everyone else was just friends. It was the most horrendous thing. And the Lord, thankfully, the Lord took me out of all that stuff. It's called Landmark Baptism. Landmark Baptist, and it's so dangerous, they think that they're the true church and everyone else is just friends of the bride. My goodness gracious. No, this is speaking of all the elect, all the blood-bought saints, all the elect of all the ages. Look at this, Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Again, speaking of the whole corporate body. All the elect of all the ages. Turn again, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll go back to our text in 1 Peter. Ephesians chapter 1. We have Christ as the head and we as the body. Again, speaking another corporate metaphor used for all the elect of all the ages. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet. That means he's absolutely sovereign. Absolutely. Whether people believe it or not. And give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he's the head and we're the body. Now let's go back to our text. And here in our text we see Christ is the foundation. And we know that he is the headstone of the church. And here he's pictured in the metaphors of a spiritual temple. The whole body of Christ, with Christ as the foundation stone. Look at verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, that's Christ, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house in holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So he's speaking here corporately again of the whole body of Christ, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now remember too, this letter is written to saints who are suffering severely, right? They're going through severe trials. So what a comfort this would be for them to know that they are spiritual stones being built up as they see brothers and sisters martyred and persecuted for their faith. And to see, to receive this letter and to know we're spiritual stones being built up. What strength that would give the believers. What comfort that would bring the believers as they're going through these various trials and tribulations. And they're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Now there's the foundation of the temple. There's the foundation of the spiritual temple right there. Christ. And Christ alone. To offer up chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So with that in our minds, let us look at verse 5 where we see proclaim, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now we who believe are living stones. Now in our natural state, before we're saved, we're like dead stones. We're like dead stones. We're inanimate. We're alive, but yet we're dead. We know that from Ephesians 2, don't we? We're just like stones. We can't do anything on our own. We're dead and lifeless spiritually. Now I'm talking spiritually. And this is the state of natural man. We're born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. Now, but in our text here, Peter proclaims that those who he's writing to, the saints scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the ones who are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, these are the ones he's speaking to, who he's calling lively stones. Now we who believe look at this and we see this, we are lively stones. And we're being built up. A spiritual house and holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Notice who it's through. We'll look at that later. By Jesus Christ. So those who were once dead in trespasses and sins, those who were like dead stones are now lively stones. Lively stones. Being built up a spiritual house. Holy priesthood. Lively there in the Greek means to live, to breathe, to be among the living. I like this, not lifeless or dead. It's the complete opposite of our spiritual state before the Lord saves us. Before the Lord saves us, we're dead in trespasses and sins. But after the Lord saves us, when we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, my, we're alive. We're alive spiritually. We're among the living. We're not lifeless and dead. Now we're alive. And the scriptures here, so this is what the scriptures here, and the Greek word means to have life, existence, as opposed to death, or being dead. Metaphorically, it means living, active, enduring, as opposed to what is dead and inactive. The same Greek word is used over in chapter 1 when speaking of the living hope that we have as believers in Christ. Turn over one chapter and look at verse 3. The same Greek word here is used as lively hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have a living hope, beloved. Let us remember that. We have a living hope. And our living hope is Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. We're born again, right? We were once dead, now we're alive. Unto a lively hope. We have a living hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what a picture we have of regeneration right there in verse 3. And what a picture of regeneration we have over in our text in verse 5 of chapter 2. We were once dead, but now we're made alive. We're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. So Peter's using the metaphor here before us. And it ties right into our verse from last week. Again, let's read verses 4 to 7 again. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones, as opposed to dead lifeless stones. Right? As opposed to our natural state when we were dead in trespasses and sins. As lively stones are built up the spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Isn't he precious to us? Oh, he's so precious. He's so precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So Peter is here bringing forth before us. Now think again of what these saints are going through, right? They're suffering various trials and tribulations, some unto death probably. Some unto death. Because we know what happened when you refuse to partake. We looked at it a little bit on Wednesday night. When you refuse to partake in the feasts and things, you could lose your livelihood. You could lose your home. You could lose everything. You could and for a Jew to turn to Christianity, it often meant complete rejection by the family. Complete disinheritance. So, you can imagine what these folks are going through, what they're going through. And so Peter here is bringing forth the union that the believers have with Christ, that they're living stones. He's the foundation. We're connected to the one who is the living stone, which he brought out in verse 4, the living stone. And then he brings out in verse 6, he's the foundation stone. And so we have a union with Christ. He's the head, we're the body. That's why we were looking at those corporate metaphors earlier that showed us that very fact. So Peter's bringing forth to the believers here who are suffering for their faith. Let us always remember that. This is a book written to suffering saints. They're suffering for their faith. And he's penning to them by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We must remember that too. That they have a secure relationship Christ, no matter what comes their way. No matter what comes their way. He is the living stone, and we are lively stones in him. In him. Again, it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house in holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Again, we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. All by his power and by his might. And now we are lively stones and we are built up a spiritual house. Note it says here, built up a spiritual house. Who does the building, beloved? God does the building. God does the building. We're just stones being put in place, aren't we? He does the building. He does the saving. You see how it ties into salvation is of the Lord? It just ties right in. It just ties right in. Is it, you know, people often ask us, you know, oh, what about man's free will? And I like to ask them this. Well, then is salvation part man and part God? Because if your salvation is part man and part God, you're not saved. Salvation's all the Lord. It's all his doing. Do we come to Christ? Absolutely. Because we're made willing. It's all him. It's all by His mighty power, beloved. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. We are built up a spiritual house in Christ when we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a work of God and God alone. Regeneration is a work of God and God alone. Salvation is a work of God and God alone. And glorification is a work of God and God alone. It's all Him. It's all Him. Oh my. And He is the living stone. And it is God who is building this spiritual house, this temple. It's His temple. It's God's temple. This spiritual temple is God's temple. God is constructing this temple, building this temple. What building there means in the Greek when it says built up there, it means building in the Greek. He's building a spiritual house. And there's only one foundation. And there's only one capstone too. There's only one foundation and there's only one capstone. Oh my. Turn if you would to Zechariah 4:17. I'll read Isaiah 28:16. Now what this represents, there's only one foundation, right? And there's only one capstone. So what does that mean? That means He's Alpha and He's Omega. He's the beginning and He's the ending. He's the all in all. He's the all in all. Salvation is of the Lord. From first to last, and everything in between, it's all of Christ. I'll read Isaiah 28:16 again. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Look at Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone, the capstone, beloved. The capstone. Thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Christ is that capstone, beloved. Christ is the foundation of the spiritual temple, and Christ is the capstone of the spiritual temple, which means He is first and He is last. He is Alpha and He is Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all Him. It's all His doing. And He is everything in between, too, isn't He? Because He's the one building this whole spiritual temple. It's wonderful, beloved. The headstone being the last, the uppermost stone in the building, which is last laid and completes the whole building, is Christ. He is the foundation and He is the capstone. Oh my, the headstone. And think of this too. He's both the architect, right? He planned it all. And He's the builder. And He's the builder. Oh my, the foundation, the chief cornerstone, the headstone. Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. In all things, including His spiritual temple. Again, it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Believers are stones found in the same quarry as all men. We're found in the same quarry as all men, aren't we? But we're dug out by God's grace, beloved. We're dug out by God's grace, we who believe. We're all found in the same quarry. No difference between us and someone who's not saved except for the grace of God in Christ. Right? Let us remember that. That's why Isaiah says, never forget the rock you were hewn from. Don't ever forget where you came from. Dug out by God's grace, separated by God's Holy Spirit, and given life by Christ. All by the grace of God. And we see here in our text that we're made a spiritual building. Over in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, but Christ is a son over His own house. Over His own spiritual temple. Whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? We're made a spiritual building and become the house of God all through Christ and Christ alone. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. With this metaphor of the spiritual temple before us, let us consider the words of our master over in John chapter 2. Verses 13 to 22, when our Lord drove the money changers out of the temple. And we'll note the latter verses, verses 18 to 22, but I want us to read the context, so we'll read from verse 13 to 22. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Verse 16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. So the very one that they're supposed to be worshiping is right there amongst them. And they do not even know him. They do not even know him. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now he's speaking spiritual things to them, isn't he? He's speaking of the temple of his body. He's speaking of his death and his resurrection. His death, burial, and resurrection. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now back in our text, it says we're built up a spiritual house, a temple, in Christ and Christ alone. And this is the distinction from the material tabernacle of old in which the presence of God dwelt in type. The temple in the Old Testament is called God's house. To the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. The temple was made with and built with dead stone. It was a type and shadow of the spiritual house here in our text, which is made up of lively stones, living stones, and built upon Christ, the living stone. And we're priests only in Christ, only in him. And note in our text, it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are only accepted in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that we offer to our Lord is only acceptable in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through him. Only through him. We're lively stones built up upon Christ, the living stone. And Peter brings this forth to these suffering saints, as the truth is always more excellent than the type. And it brings great joy to these people, to these saints of God as they're suffering, to see this precious truth, to see their union with Christ. We are the tabernacle of God, and our text continues again with the fact that we are a holy priesthood, like the priests of old, who offer up sacrifices of faith, love, praise, acceptable to God in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How? By Jesus Christ. That's a key right there. By Jesus Christ. All our spiritual sacrifices, all our prayers, our praises, our alms, and even ourselves are only acceptable to God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And these spiritual sacrifices are offered up through him, whom the saints have access to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, our king, our redeemer. And we present ourselves to God, and we are only accepted by God in Christ and for his sake and by the virtue of his sacrifice for us on Calvary's cross. And remember this, that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross is always a sweet-smelling savor to our great God and King. So what comfort this would bring these suffering saints to know this unbreakable bond that they have in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together. We thank Thee for these wonderful pictures that we who were once dead are now made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, regenerated, born again of the Spirit, and now we who believe are living stones, lively stones, being built up a spiritual temple, being built up by Thee, O Lord. O Lord, we just put our lives in Thy hands. We pray You give us grace and strength to meet what will come this week for us. And we love You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.